Rachel Taylor was raised to believe that purity was everything. Her boyfriend, Ben, a worship leader at a thriving megachurch, wore his faith like a suit of armor. To Rachel, lying about her past was just another form of survival, a necessary sin in a world that worshiped innocence above honesty. When Ben slipped a modest diamond ring on her finger, Rachel thought she'd finally escaped the shadows of her secrets. But the wedding was only the beginning. A week after the honeymoon, the first text arrived. A blurry photo from her wild college days, sent by a man she thought she'd left behind. Then another, and another. Now, with her marriage on the line and her husband's reputation at stake, Rachel is desperate to bury her past before it buries her. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1, The Lie That Started It All. 2,000 words, AI narration, ready, simplified, cinematic, emotionally immersive. Rachel Taylor's earliest memories were full of church pews, Sunday dresses, and her mother's sharp voice reminding her that good girls don't get second chances. In the small Georgia town where she grew up, reputation meant everything. Even rumors could end marriages or drive families out of town overnight. By 26, Rachel had learned to compartmentalize. Her college years in Atlanta, a blur of freedom, parties, and a few secret lovers, were sealed off in her mind like a forbidden chapter. By day, she was the model daughter, dutiful, quiet, and always in church. By night, she let herself remember the taste of recklessness, the freedom that came from knowing she could walk away. Meeting Ben Harper was supposed to be her redemption. Ben was handsome, devoted, and popular in their church community. He played guitar during Sunday worship and led a Bible study on Thursday nights. Parents adored him. He'd made a vow of abstinence at 16, and Rachel knew what he expected. From their first date, Rachel had been careful, never revealing too much, always steering the conversation back to faith, music, or safe topics. She watched the way Ben's eyes softened when she laughed at his jokes, and how, "Look, Rachel, I'm not proud of who I was back then, but I moved on. I don't want trouble." She studied his face. He looked sincere, hurt even. "If you find out anything, please let me know." He nodded, giving her his number. "Be careful, Rachel. Atlanta's not the only place people hold grudges." New suspects. Driving home, Rachel replayed the encounter. If Derek wasn't involved, then who was? Someone else from college? Carmen? Her mind spun with possibilities. Back at home, Amber and Rachel brainstormed late into the night. Names, old roommates, jealous exes, people she'd wronged. Rachel realized how many loose ends she'd left in her quest to appear perfect. Then Amber said, "What if it's not about revenge? What if it's about money or power? Someone who knows what this would do to Ben, to his family." Rachel nodded slowly. "Carmen, she knows something. I can feel it. The breakdown." By Thursday, Rachel was a wreck. Ben noticed. "You've barely slept. Is something wrong?" She wanted to tell him everything. The words sat on her tongue, heavy and sharp. But each time she tried, she saw his face crumple in her mind, his trust shattered. Instead, she lied. "Just nerves. First month of marriage and all." Ben hugged her. "I love you, no matter what." Rachel bit her lip, holding back tears. A final warning. That night, the final message arrived. "Time's up tomorrow. 10K, or the video goes public. Check the Dropbox for instructions." Attached was a link and a password. Rachel clicked through, heart racing. A single folder labeled Confessions. Inside, she saw clips, photos, even old emails she'd forgotten about her entire past, cataloged and weaponized. There was one last note. Tell anyone, and you lose everything. She shut her laptop, trembling. In the darkness, Rachel finally understood. The blackmailer wasn't just after money. This was about humiliation, about control. Someone wanted her scared, desperate, alone. But Rachel was done running. Tomorrow, she would make her stand, even if it meant losing everything. Chapter 4, Truth, Lies, and the Breaking Point. Morning broke, gray and heavy. Rachel lay awake long before sunrise, eyes fixed on the ceiling, her mind running through the impossible tangle of choices. With every hour, the weight of the blackmailer's threat pressed down on her chest. If she paid, she'd be trapped forever. If she refused, everything she'd built would come crashing down. She turned over, watching Ben sleep. He looked peaceful, safe in the world he believed was real. Rachel wondered if she'd ever feel that way again. By 7, she was up, moving through the kitchen on autopilot, brewing coffee, setting out cereal, folding laundry she'd already washed twice just to keep her hands busy. Ben wandered in, hair tousled, reaching for her waist. You're up early again, Rachel forced a smile. Just couldn't sleep. He kissed her cheek, studying her. Rach, talk to me. Is it the house? Work? Is something wrong with us? She hesitated, her chest tightening. She wanted to tell him everything to unburden herself, but fear held her tongue. I'm okay, she said softly. Just tired. He nodded, but she could see the worry in his eyes. The countdown Rachel's phone buzzed. At 8:13 a.m., she jumped. Another message. No more stalling. You have until midnight. She pressed her lips together, feeling anger bubble up beneath the fear. She couldn't let this person control her. She needed a plan. She called Amber, voice barely above a whisper. I need to see you. Now. They met at a park on the edge of town, away from prying eyes and gossipy ears. Amber arrived with sunglasses and a baseball cap, nerves on edge. What are you going to do? Amber asked. Rachel shook her head. I can't pay, and if I do, they'll just come back for more. But if I do nothing, my whole life falls apart. Amber sighed. What if you flip the script? Don't give them what they want. Take control. Rachel looked at her, uncertain. How? Amber thought for a moment. Maybe you find out who they are before midnight. Maybe you threaten them. Make them believe you're not afraid. Rachel considered it. For the first time in weeks, she felt a glimmer of hope. If I'm going down, I'm not going alone. The investigation, Amber and Rachel split up. Amber went home to comb through old emails and messages. Rachel, hands shaking, logged into the Dropbox again. She scrolled through every file, searching for clues, a slip of language, a timestamp, a detail that might reveal the sender's identity. One file caught her attention, a text thread with someone named Cass. Rachel's heart skipped. Cass was her old college roommate, notorious for holding grudges. The messages were mundane, jokes, inside references, but one line stood out. One day, you'll pay for what you did to me. Rachel remembered the fight. It had ended badly. Cass had moved out in the middle of the night, swearing she'd never forgive her. Could she be behind this? Rachel tracked Cass down on social media. She hadn't posted in months, but her profile said she was living in New Orleans. Was it possible? Cass was still obsessed. Was she working with someone else? Rachel messaged her. using a burner account. "Cass, it's Rachel. I'm sorry for how things ended. If you need to talk, I'm here." No reply. Rachel tried to steady her breathing. Maybe it wasn't Cass. Maybe it was Carmen, still hovering in the background, always watching. She decided to confront Carmen directly, face to face. At choir rehearsal that evening, Rachel waited until everyone was distracted and then approached Carmen as she sorted sheet music. "Can we talk?" Rachel asked, her voice shaky. Carmen looked up, expression unreadable. "Of course." They stepped outside into the muggy evening. Rachel kept her voice low. You know what you're doing. The threats, the emails. Why are you doing this?" Carmen blinked, then smiled, a slow, knowing smile. "I don't know what you mean." Rachel's hands balled into fists. "Stop playing games. If you want something from me, just say it." Carmen leaned in. "You think you're the only one with secrets in this town?" Her voice was quiet, but there was steel in it. "Don't make accusations you can't prove, Rachel. People talk. Reputations fall. Be careful who you trust." For a moment, Rachel's resolve wavered. Was Carmen bluffing, or was she warning her? Either way, Rachel left more unsettled than before. A new approach. Back at home, Rachel found Amber waiting on her front steps. Amber waved her phone, triumphant. "I found something," she whispered. "The IP address on the Dropbox link. It's local. Someone in town is doing this." Rachel's eyes widened. "Who?" Amber shook her head. "Can't tell yet, but it's someone close. Not Cass, not Derek." Rachel's mind raced. Who would want to destroy her life? Who was close enough to watch her every move? Then it hit her. Someone from church. Someone who wanted Ben, or resented, Rachel's sudden place in the spotlight. A cold dread crept over her. She thought of Ben's ex, Lisa, who'd never forgiven him for breaking things off. Lisa worked at the church office, had access to private records, and never missed an opportunity to remind Rachel she didn't really fit in. Rachel called Amber. "Lisa, it has to be her." Amber's silence was heavy. "Are you sure?" "No, but I have to find out." The final hours. With the clock ticking down, Rachel steeled herself and drove to the church. She found Lisa in the office, sorting envelopes. Rachel walked in, voice steady. "Lisa, can I talk to you?" Lisa looked up, wary. "About what?" Rachel closed the door. "I know what you're doing. The blackmail, the threats. Why, Lisa?" Lisa scoffed. "I have no idea what you're talking about." Rachel leaned forward, her voice cold. "You always said Ben deserved better, that he needed someone pure." "Well, I'm not. I lied. But you? You're a coward." For a split second, something flickered across Lisa's face. Fear, then anger. "Careful, Rachel. Accusations like that can ruin a person." Rachel stepped back, suddenly unsure. Was Lisa guilty or just vindictive? She left the office shaken, her head pounding. The line between friend and enemy was blurring. Decision time midnight approached. Rachel sat in her car outside the church. The town's lights blurred through the windshield. She clutched her phone, watching the seconds slip away. Her email dinged. A new message. "You failed. Check your phone." A minute later, a group text pinged. Ben, his parents, Rachel's mother, Lisa, the pastor, everyone. The video began to upload. Rachel screamed, fumbling with her phone, desperate to stop it. She called Amber, sobbing. "It's happening. I can't stop it." Amber's voice was frantic. "Wait, hang up and meet me at my place now." Rachel floored the gas, tires screeching. As she sped through the empty streets, her phone buzzed again. A message from the blackmailer taunting her. You never deserved your happy ending. But Rachel was done playing the victim. Tonight, she would fight back, even if she lost everything. Chapter 5, Shattered Illusions. Rachel tore through town, heart pounding, headlights blazing through the darkness as she sped toward Amber's apartment. Each minute felt like an hour. In her mind, the nightmare was already playing out. Ben's shocked face, his parents' horror, whispers spreading like wildfire through the church. Everything she'd built, everything she'd lied for, gone in an instant. She skidded into the parking lot, slammed the car door, and raced up the stairs two at a time. Amber was waiting, wide-eyed, clutching her phone. "Come in, quick," she hissed, ushering Rachel inside. Rachel nearly collapsed onto the couch. "Amber, it's over. The video's out there. Everyone will know." Amber shook her head, eyes wild. "Not yet. I think I stopped it. I intercepted the group message. I hacked the link before it went live. No one has seen it yet. But whoever's behind this is watching. They're not done." Rachel could barely breathe. "How? How did you..." Amber waved her off. "We don't have time for that. Listen, we need to figure out who's doing this before they try again. And we need to tell Ben before he hears from someone else." Rachel's body sagged with exhaustion. "He'll hate me, Amber. Everyone will." Amber knelt beside her. "He loves you, Rachel. Give him the truth before someone else twists it." The confession sunrise crept in through the blinds, pale and uncertain. Rachel's nerves felt raw. She barely slept. By morning, she made up her mind. She drove home, feeling like she was walking into her own execution. Ben was in the kitchen, scrolling through his phone, still blissfully unaware. Rachel's voice shook. "Ben, can we talk now?" He turned, immediately concerned. "Of course. What is it?" She took a breath that felt like it might be her last. "I lied to you about everything. About my past." He frowned, confused. "What do you mean?" She closed her eyes, forcing the words out. "I wasn't a virgin when we met. I pretended because I was scared. I thought you'd leave. I wanted you to love me so badly. But there's more. Someone's blackmailing me. They have a video from years ago." Ben stared at her, eyes wide with shock, his face draining of color. Rachel kept going, tears streaming down her cheeks. "I'm so sorry. I tried to fix it, but it's all coming out. I needed you to hear it from me." For a long time, Ben said nothing. Rachel's heart pounded in the silence. Finally, he spoke, soft, broken. "Why didn't you trust me? Why would you lie to me?" She tried to reach for him, but he pulled away, pain etched into every line of his face. "I don't even know who you are, Rachel." The fallout Ben left the house. Rachel heard his car pull away and stared at the door, numb and shaking. She wandered from room to room, memories swirling. Her wedding dress hanging in the closet, the photo of them at the altar, the letters they'd written each other on their first anniversary. Was it all a lie, or just her part in it? Her phone buzzed again. Unknown number. "That's more like it. Now you know how it feels." Rachel hurled her phone across the room, shattering it against the wall. Amber arrived soon after, pulling Rachel into a hug. "You did the right thing. No more secrets. No more running." Rachel sobbed. "I lost him. I lost everything." Amber stroked her hair. "You still have me, and you're stronger than you think. We're going to end this, Rachel, no matter what it takes." Unmasking the enemy, Amber set up her laptop, determined to trace the last digital breadcrumbs before the blackmailer could strike again. She used every tool she knew, digging into old emails, encrypted messages, network logs. Rachel sat beside her, silent, drained. Hours passed. Then finally, Amber sat up straight. "Rachel, look at this." She pointed to a login, an IP address that didn't match any from the church or from their circle of friends. But there was a familiar pattern. Carmen's name appeared as a reference point in several file exchanges. Carmen, always in the background. Carmen, who seemed to appear wherever Rachel went. Rachel clenched her fists. "It's her. It has to be." Amber nodded grimly. "We need proof, and you need closure." The confrontation that evening, Rachel called Carmen, voice steady. "I know what you've been doing. Meet me at the park. Tonight, no more games." The park was deserted, shadows stretching long in the evening sun. Carmen arrived, her smile thin and cold. "Is this about your little secrets, Rachel?" she said. Rachel squared her shoulders. "You want to ruin me? Fine, but I'm not afraid anymore. You want to destroy my life, my marriage? Do it. I won't pay you a cent." Carmen's eyes narrowed. "You think anyone will forgive you once they see the truth? You're just like everyone else, pretending, lying." Rachel held her ground. "We all have secrets, Carmen, even you. You followed me here. You set me up, but you don't get to win. Not anymore." Carmen stepped closer, voice trembling with rage. "You took what should have been mine, the church, Ben, that perfect life. You think you're better than me?" Rachel shook her head, tears in her eyes. "No, but I won't be your victim." Suddenly, Carmen lunged, trying to snatch Aryasarshul's purse. Amber, hidden nearby, rushed forward, recording everything on her phone. The confrontation grew loud, chaotic, drawing the attention of a passing couple who dialed 911. The police arrived minutes later. Amber showed them the messages, the videos, the digital trail. Carmen was arrested, her threats finally exposed. Aftermath. The next morning, Rachel sat at her kitchen table, staring out the window as dawn broke over the town. She felt hollow, raw, but also relieved. The secret was out. The blackmailer was gone. Amber sat with her, pouring two mugs of coffee. "It's over, Rach. You did it." Rachel nodded. "But what about Ben? About everyone else?" Amber squeezed her hand. "Give it time. Tell your story. Let them see the real you." Rachel watched the sunrise, feeling, for the first time in years, the weight begin to lift. Her old life was gone, but maybe something new could grow in its place. Chapter 6. After the ruin. The silence in the house was deafening. Rachel sat at the edge of their neatly made bed, the mattress barely touched on Ben's side since he left. She hadn't changed the sheets. It felt wrong, like washing them would erase the last piece of who they were before everything collapsed. The room still smelled like him, aftershave, cedar, detergent. It clung to the air, mocking her. She pulled the blanket over her lap, staring at the wedding photo, still perched on the nightstand. Two smiles, two lies, and then her phone rang. The fallout. It was Amber. "Rach, it's everywhere." Rachel didn't respond. The video didn't go public, but the story is out. People are talking. Lisa told the pastor, and Ben's father. He stepped down from the board. Rachel closed her eyes, chest aching. "I never meant for it to touch him, any of them." "I know you didn't," Amber said softly, "but the lie was woven deep. You weren't just the pastor's daughter-in-law. You were the example." Rachel heard the judgment in her own head before anyone had a chance to say it aloud. "I think I need to leave town," she whispered, "at least for a while." But Amber's voice turned sharp. "Don't you dare. That's what Carmen wanted. That's what the whispers want. For you to disappear. To be a warning." Rachel stayed quiet. "Your past was messy. But your courage? It's rare. Stay. Face them. Or you'll spend the rest of your life running." The first Sunday, Rachel didn't go to church that weekend. She couldn't. But Amber did. And she called the moment it ended. "Ben was there," she said. "He played guitar, but he didn't speak. Everyone watched him like a ghost, like they were waiting for him to break." Rachel clutched the phone tighter. "And the pastor," Amber added, "he gave a sermon about the difference between sin and shame, about how hiding behind rules keeps us from healing. It felt directed." Rachel sank into the couch, unsure if she felt comforted or condemned. A knock at the door. That evening, Rachel stood in the kitchen, reheating leftovers, when someone knocked. Her heart jumped. She peeked through the window. Not Ben, not Amber, Lisa. Rachel froze. Her chest tightened. But she opened the door. Lisa stood, with arms crossed, eyes cold. "I'm not here to fight," she said. "I just came to say, I didn't leak anything. I told the pastor yes, because I thought he deserved to know. But I didn't blast it online. That wasn't me." Rachel nodded once. "Okay." Lisa lingered. "You think you're the only one who's ever faked something? The only one who ever lied to survive in this town?" Rachel met her eyes. "I don't think that. But I carried it alone, and I paid the price." Lisa softened slightly. "They'll never fully forgive you. Some of them, anyway. But some will. That's how it works around here. One day at a time." Then she left. Rachel closed the door, heart heavy, but oddly, a little steadier. The letter. That night, she wrote Ben a letter. Not to win him back. Not to explain what couldn't be explained, just to tell the truth. "Ben, there's no excuse for what I did. I don't expect to be forgiven, but I want you to know that I loved you, still do. Not for the safety you gave me, but for the man you are when no one is watching. I was wrong to believe that your love depended on a lie, that God only blesses the spotless. I've learned that shame grows in silence, and silence almost destroyed me. If you can find peace without me, I'll understand. But if there's a path forward, I'll walk it. No longer as the woman I pretended to be, but as the woman I am now." Rachel. She didn't send it. Not yet. A flicker of hope. The next morning, she walked to the park bench near the church where she'd once met Carmen. This time, the wind was gentle, the air cool, the town quiet. And there, across the street, she saw him, Ben. He was alone, leaning against the hood of his truck, staring into the distance. Rachel's heart stuttered. She started walking toward him, but halfway across, she stopped. He hadn't seen her, and for the first time, she didn't run. She didn't hide. She just stood and waited. Chapter 7. Grace. After the storm. The church bell rang on a cloudless Sunday morning. Rachel lingered outside, hands clasped tightly, feeling the hesitant warmth of the sun on her face. This was the first time she'd dared to come back since everything had fallen apart. Whispers had already reached her about the video, the arrest, Ben's heartbreak. In a small town like this, rumors moved faster than grace. Amber waited by the door. "Ready?" she asked softly. Rachel nodded, though her heart was pounding. She wore no makeup, her hair pulled back, her eyes still raw from too many sleepless nights. This time, She wasn't hiding. She wasn't pretending. She stepped inside, heads turned. Ben's mother looked away. Friends from choir, who once embraced her, now avoided her gaze. But she walked forward, spine straight, each step a choice to keep going. The pastor saw her and paused mid-conversation. His eyes softened. "Rachel, good morning." Rachel's voice shook, but held firm. "I'd like to speak to the congregation, please." A hush fell as the pastor nodded and led her to the front. Amber followed, silent support. Rachel stood at the pulpit facing the rows of familiar faces, some angry, some curious, a few kind. She took a breath, voice steady. "I lied to you all. I pretended to be someone I wasn't. I was so afraid of losing the life I wanted, I let fear decide for me. My past is not what you thought. I let shame turn me into a liar, and I hurt the person I love most." Ben sat in the back row, face unreadable. Rachel's chest ached. "I am sorry, not just for lying, but for believing I had to, for thinking love depended on a story I made up. Some of you may never forgive me. That's your right. But I'm here because I want to live honestly, even if it costs me everything." The room was silent, every eye fixed on her. The pastor spoke, gentle but honest. "We all need grace, Rachel. Thank you for your honesty. We can choose how we respond. I hope we choose to forgive." A murmur of voices followed. Some turned away. Others nodded. Rachel left the stage, her heart racing, but lighter. Rebuilding. The weeks that followed were hard. Ben stayed away, living with his brother. Rachel started volunteering at the shelter, trying to fill her days with something useful, something real. She met with the pastor, sometimes with Amber, talking about shame and forgiveness, about how a lifetime of pretending can leave scars deeper than anyone sees. Amber's friendship never wavered. "You get to decide who you are now, Rach. Nobody else." Some nights, Rachel cried herself to sleep. Other nights, she wrote in her journal, listing things she liked about herself, honest things for the first time. She saw Ben at the grocery store, at a distance, and her heart twisted. She let him be, giving him the space he needed. Closure Carmen was sentenced for harassment and extortion. The town moved on, slowly, fitfully. A new scandal replaced the old. Whispers died down. Rachel found herself less afraid each day. One evening, months later, Ben knocked at her door. He looked thinner, older, but his eyes were gentle. "Can we talk?" he asked. She nodded, her hands trembling. He sat at the kitchen table, where so much had happened. "I'm not here for apologies," Ben said. "I've had time to think. I love the idea of you, Rachel. The perfect story. The perfect wife. But I see now that wasn't fair. To you or to me." Rachel's eyes stung. "I'm so sorry, Ben. I would have told you everything if I thought I could. But I was so afraid." He nodded. "We both made mistakes. I believed in purity, not in grace. I should have made it safe for you to be." He'd blush if she touched his hand. For months, their physical affection was limited to quick hugs or a chaste kiss goodnight. Rachel's mother, Mrs. Taylor, noticed. "You're doing the right thing, honey," she'd say, smoothing Rachel's hair. "You're going to have a beautiful, blessed marriage." Rachel smiled and nodded, shoving guilt deeper down. As their relationship grew, Ben became more serious about marriage. He talked about starting a family, finding a house close to his church, and raising children with the right values. The pressure built, especially as friends and family asked if Rachel was waiting too. She told herself that one more lie wouldn't matter. When Ben finally proposed, Kneeling in front of the whole congregation on Easter Sunday, Rachel heard applause echo through the church. She put on a show, trembling hands, watery eyes, a yes whispered like a prayer. Ben's mother wept with joy. Rachel's own mother hugged her so tightly she could barely breathe. But that night, Rachel lay awake, heart pounding, replaying every risky moment of her past. Names and faces blurred together. Would anyone ever find out? Had she deleted every photo, every message? She reminded herself that she was different now. She could be the person everyone wanted her to be. As the wedding approached, Rachel became obsessed with control. She deleted old social media accounts, blocked numbers, and even considered contacting her exes to make sure they'd keep quiet. Paranoia crept in. Every unknown call, every random friend request felt like a threat. Rachel's best friend, Amber, noticed her nerves. "You okay, Rach?" she asked, pouring coffee at a diner booth a week before the wedding. Rachel lied smoothly. "Just wedding jitters," Amber smiled. "You've got nothing to worry about. Ben is obsessed with you." That night, Rachel scrolled through old photos one last time, deleting any trace of her wild years. She'd heard stories of other women being exposed, tales whispered in church parking lots, reputations ruined in a single day. She promised herself she'd never let that happen. On her wedding day, Rachel wore white. The church was packed. Ben looked at her with such trust that Rachel almost broke. When the preacher asked if anyone had a reason to object, Rachel held her breath. "Honest." There was silence, but it was soft, not sharp. "I don't know what comes next," Ben said. "Maybe we need time. Maybe we don't end up together. But I forgive you. I hope you find a way to forgive yourself." Rachel wept, not from regret, but from relief. New beginnings. Spring came, gentle and green. Rachel started taking classes, slowly rebuilding her life. She made new friends, some from the shelter, some from church. She sang again in choir, her voice fuller, richer, a little broken, but hers. One Sunday, Ben joined the service. He didn't sit with her, but he smiled. That was enough. Rachel realized healing was slow, but real. She had lost her old life, but gained something far more precious, the courage to live without shame and the hope that forgiveness, while hard won, was still possible. She left the church that day, the sun warm on her shoulders, the future still uncertain, but hers at last. Silence. Their wedding night was awkward. Ben was gentle, but inexperienced. Rachel played her role perfectly, feigning shyness, pretending every touch was new. Ben was so grateful, so relieved. "Thank you for saving yourself for me," he whispered. Rachel kissed him and forced a smile, ignoring the pit in her stomach. For a few days, everything felt normal. They returned from their honeymoon and settled into married life. Rachel joined Ben's Bible study, volunteered at the church food pantry, and baked cookies for neighbors. She was determined to keep up the illusion, but secrets have a way of surfacing. One evening, Rachel found an envelope on their porch. No return address, just her name, scrawled in black ink. Inside was a photo. It was grainy, but unmistakable. Rachel, laughing, drink in hand, an arm around a man she hadn't seen in years. Her hands shook as she hid the envelope at the bottom of her purse. She didn't sleep that night. Every sound outside sounded like a threat. Was someone watching? Did they want money or revenge? Rachel tried to act normal around Ben, but he noticed the tension. "You sure you're okay?" he asked, rubbing her back. She smiled and said she was tired, But deep down, Rachel knew her past was catching up. She just didn't know how bad it would get. Chapter 2. Ghosts in the Honeymoon Phase. Rachel sat at the kitchen table, a steaming cup of coffee in her trembling hands. Ben, humming softly, wandered in and planted a gentle kiss on her forehead. "Did you sleep at all?" he asked, opening the fridge. Rachel forced a laugh. "Just nerves, I think. I'm still adjusting to everything." Ben smiled, oblivious. He was already in his church polo, ready for the day's youth group meeting. "You're going to be an amazing wife, Rach. I'm the luckiest man alive." She smiled back, hiding the photo envelope beneath a stack of unopened mail. Rachel watched him go, then listened to the door click shut. When she was certain he'd left, she pulled out the envelope again and stared at the grainy photograph. The man with his arm around her, Derek, was a face she hadn't thought of in years. Atlanta, sophomore year, a wild spring break, a haze of parties, and no rules. Rachel's mind raced. Why now? Who had sent this? She checked the envelope again. Nothing. No note. No explanation. Just her name, her face, and a hint of a threat. She went through her phone, searching for Derek's old number. Deleted. She scrolled through her socials, but her profiles had been wiped before the wedding. Still, that didn't stop others from posting. People tagged in old group photos, classmates reminiscing about the good old days. Rachel remembered the whispered church stories of women exposed by old flames or jealous rivals. Reputation was everything here. One crack, and it could all crumble. She needed a plan, a visit from the past. That afternoon, Rachel drove across town, hands gripping the wheel so tightly her knuckles whitened. She parked outside Amber's apartment, knocking with a code only old friends would know. Amber answered in fuzzy socks and a messy bun. "You look like hell," she said, hugging Rachel inside. Rachel tried to smile. She trusted Amber, but not with everything. Amber poured coffee, and they sat on the balcony, overlooking their sleepy town. "I got something in the mail," Rachel began, voice low. She slid the photo across the table. Amber's eyes widened. "Is that?" "Derek," Rachel whispered. "From college. Someone sent it here, to the house." Amber shook her head. "That's creepy. Are you sure it's just one photo, not a prank?" Rachel swallowed hard. "What if there's more? What if they go to Ben or his family?" Her mind flashed through every Sunday potluck, every women's Bible study. The gossip alone would destroy her. Amber squeezed her hand. "Maybe it's nothing. People have moved on." Rachel wanted to believe her, but that night, lying beside Ben, she kept replaying the image. What if there was more, worse, out there? Sunday service. The next morning was bright and cloudless, but Rachel felt a storm brewing inside her. At church, she pasted on a smile, greeting Ben's parents and shaking hands with parishioners. Ben was in his element, laughing, strumming his guitar, radiating earnest joy. Rachel sat beside her mother, feeling like a fraud. "You look tired, sweetheart," Mrs. Taylor whispered, tucking a strand of Rachel's hair behind her ear. "Just a lot on my mind, Mom." Mrs. Taylor squeezed her hand, eyes shining with approval. "Ben is good for you. He brings out the best in you." Rachel nodded, her throat tight. After the service, Ben's mother cornered her. "Are you coming to the women's circle tonight? Everyone wants to hear about your honeymoon." Rachel forced a laugh. "Of course, I'll be there." The thought made her stomach twist. She wasn't ready for questions or the scrutiny. She escaped to the restroom, locked the stall, and stared at herself in the mirror. Her reflection looked older, thinner, the strain starting to show. "Get it together," she whispered. "You've come too far to lose everything now." Shadows at the Circle. That evening, the women's circle met at Sister Gladys's house, a sprawling ranch home decorated with faded florals and Bible verses on every wall. Plates of cookies and sweet tea littered the kitchen. The women, mothers, grandmothers, teens, clustered in groups, gossiping about work, marriages, and the latest prayer chain scandal. Rachel fielded questions with careful grace. "How was your honeymoon? Is Ben as perfect as he seems? Any plans for babies?" She laughed at the right moments, shared sanitized details, and tried not to let her mind wander. But across the room, a new face caught her eye. A young woman, mid-twenties, striking, unfamiliar. She watched Rachel with an intensity that sent chills down her spine. At the end of the night, the stranger approached as Rachel gathered her purse. "You're Rachel, right?" she said, voice low. Rachel froze. "Yes." "Do I know you?" The woman smiled, tight-lipped. "Not yet, but we have some mutual friends. I just moved here from Atlanta." Her eyes lingered on Rachel's face, searching for something. Rachel's heart hammered. "Well, welcome. Hope you like it here." The woman leaned in. "Small towns have big memories. I'm sure you know what I mean." With that, she turned and left, leaving Rachel rattled. Home invasions. That night, Rachel double-locked the doors. She lay awake, listening to Ben's gentle breathing beside her, her mind racing with possibilities. The photo, the stranger, the threat, it all felt connected. She checked her phone obsessively, waiting for another message. Nothing came. Days passed in a haze of anxiety. Rachel went through the motions, laundry, dinners, church events, but she was jumpy, paranoid. Every unknown number, every new face made her stomach clench. One afternoon, Ben found her sorting old mail. "Looking for something," he teased, leaning over her shoulder. Rachel jumped. "Just organizing. We have so much junk mail." He grinned. "You're nesting already." He kissed her cheek and went to walk the dog. Rachel waited until he left, then checked the mail again. Nothing. She wondered, should she confess? Should she tell Ben everything? The thought was paralyzing. If he knew the truth, he'd be devastated. His trust, his faith, his reputation, all built on the lie she told. And now someone else knew. The second threat. On Friday, the next envelope arrived. This time, it wasn't a photo. It was a note, scrawled in sharp black ink. "Nice wedding. Shame if people knew the real you. Check your email." Rachel's hands shook as she rushed to her laptop. In her inbox was a single new message. No sender, just a subject. "Remember this?" Attached was a video clip, shaky but clear. Rachel recognized the cheap motel room, the pink dress she'd worn, Derek's voice. Her face, flushed and laughing, filled the screen. The clip cut off after 20 seconds, but the message was clear. Rachel's world spun. She slammed her laptop shut, heart pounding in her chest. How many copies were out there? What did they want from her? Amber's words echoed. People move on. But whoever this was hadn't. Someone wanted something from her. The first demand. That night, Rachel waited until Ben was asleep before sneaking out to her car. She called Amber, her hands shaking. "I need your help," she whispered. Amber's voice was groggy but urgent. "What's wrong?" Rachel told her everything, the photo, the note, the video. Amber was silent for a long time. "This is bad, Rach, really bad." "I know. What do I do?" "First, you need to find out who's doing this. Think. Who did you hurt? Who would want to ruin you?" Rachel's mind whirled through every bad breakup, every angry message, every jealous ex, Derek, someone else. "You need to get ahead of this," Amber said. "Don't let them control you." Rachel nodded, staring out at the empty street. "What if I can't?" Amber's voice was gentle. "You're not alone, but you have to fight." A test of faith. The next morning, Rachel sat in the pew beside Ben, feeling the weight of her secret pressing on her chest. The Horowitz pastor's sermon was about truth and redemption, about the dangers of living a lie. Rachel's hands trembled in her lap. After the service, the stranger from the women's circle appeared again. She introduced herself this time. "Carmen." Rachel tried to sound casual. "So, you're from Atlanta?" Carmen's eyes didn't leave Rachel's. "We have a lot in common, Rachel, more than you think." Rachel's blood ran cold. Carmen leaned in, her voice barely above a whisper. "I know what it's like, hiding who you are, but secrets have a way of getting out." Rachel tried to maintain her composure, but inside, she was falling apart. Was Carmen behind the threats? Was she working with someone else? Ben called out, waving Rachel over. She excused herself, forcing a smile, her heart pounding. The ultimatum. That evening, another email came. This time it was explicit. $10,000 by Friday, or the whole church sees the video. Rachel stared at the screen, numb. She didn't have that kind of money. Even if she did, how could she guarantee it would end? She called Amber again. "They want money. $10,000. Amber cursed. "You can't give in. It'll never stop." Rachel's mind raced. What if Ben found out? What if his family saw the video? She imagined the looks, the whispers, the judgment. Her world, her carefully built lie, would collapse. But the threats were real, the danger closer than ever. Rachel realized she had a choice. Run, confess, or fight. She didn't know which was more terrifying, but one thing was certain. Her past wasn't done with her yet. Chapter 3. The Web Tightens. The morning after the ultimatum, Rachel stared at her reflection in the bathroom mirror, her face drawn and pale. The silence in the house felt heavier than usual, broken only by the distant sound of Ben's radio in the kitchen. For a moment, she envied his innocence. He still believed in miracles and new beginnings. He didn't know the person lying beside him each night was living a lie. Her phone vibrated on the counter, a single text from the unknown number. "TikTok, Rachel, 10K. Don't test me." She deleted it instantly. Panic threatened to consume her, but she forced herself to focus. She had 4 days before Friday, 4 days to save her marriage, her reputation, and maybe even her sanity. A dangerous confession. Later that morning, Rachel drove to Amber's apartment, mind buzzing. She hadn't told Amber about the new demand in person, and she needed her best friend now more than ever. Amber let her in, already in sweats, coffee in hand, worry etched into her face. "I'm so sorry," Amber whispered as Rachel finished explaining. "Do you have any idea who's doing this?" Rachel shook her head, tears pooling in her eyes. "It could be Derek. It could be someone else. But why now? Why after all these years?" Amber chewed her lip. "You have to get in front of this. If you don't, they own you forever." Rachel flinched at the word. "I don't have $10,000. Not even close." Amber hesitated. "What about Ben?" Rachel recoiled. "I can't. If I tell Ben, I lose everything. He'll never trust me again. His family, the church." Amber cut her off. "You're being blackmailed, Rachel. This isn't about purity anymore. It's about control." Rachel wiped her eyes. "If I could just talk to Derek, maybe..." Amber sighed. "Let's start there. If he's involved, he'll crack. If not, maybe he knows something. The search for Derek Rachel spent the afternoon tracking down Derek's last known address. A few social media searches revealed a new Instagram account, public, full of party shots and tagged friends. He hadn't changed much. He was still in Atlanta, working as a bartender at a downtown club. That night, after Ben fell asleep, Rachel messaged Derek under a fake name, using an old account she'd never deleted. "Hey, remember me? Can we talk? Urgent." She stared at the screen until her eyes blurred, heart pounding as she waited for reply. None came. The stranger's game. Carmen, the mysterious woman from church, started showing up everywhere. Bible study, choir rehearsal, even the local grocery store. Each time, she smiled at Rachel with that knowing look. Calm, patient, predatory. At Wednesday night service, Carmen cornered her by the coffee station. "You look stressed, Rachel. Everything all right?" Rachel tried to smile. "Just tired. Adjusting to married life." Carmen leaned closer. "You know, secrets have a way of rotting us from the inside out. I've seen it before. People pretending, trying to be something they're not. It always catches up." Rachel's heart hammered in her chest. Was Carmen warning her? Or was she the blackmailer? Before Rachel could answer, Ben walked up, draping an arm around her. "Everything okay here?" Carmen's smile never wavered. "Just girl talk. See you at choir, Rachel." Ben squeezed her shoulder as Carmen walked away. "You all right? You look like you've seen a ghost." Rachel forced a laugh. "Just nerves. I'll be fine." But as she watched Carmen's retreating figure, a new fear took root. Was Carmen just a messenger, or was she pulling the strings? Ties that bind. Back home, Rachel poured herself a glass of wine and sat at the kitchen table, trying to make sense of it all. The photo, the video, the threats, Carmen's sudden appearance. Was it all connected, or was her mind making connections where there were none? She pulled up her email again, reading the blackmailer's message over and over. There was no information, no instructions on how to pay, just the demand. It felt personal. Someone wanted her to sweat, to know she was being watched. Her phone buzzed again. Another text. "You have 72 hours. Tick tock." Rachel's hand shook as she stared at the clock. Time was slipping away, into the lion's den. The next afternoon, Rachel drove to Atlanta, heart racing with every mile. She'd told Ben she was visiting her mother, a half-truth he accepted without question. Amber insisted on coming along, fearing for her friend's safety. The club where Derek worked was loud, pulsing with music and neon lights. Rachel scanned the bar, spotting Derek pouring drinks for a group of college kids. He looked older, but still handsome, his easy charm unchanged. She waited until he was alone, then approached the bar. Derek looked up, surprise flickering across his face. "Rachel Taylor? Well, I'll be damned. What brings you here?" Rachel forced a smile. "Can we talk? Somewhere private?" Derek shrugged, wiping his hands on a towel. He led her to a back room, small and cluttered. Amber waited outside, watchful. Rachel wasted no time. "Someone's blackmailing me with a video from us. Do you know anything about it?" Derek's expression hardened. "What? No, I haven't seen you in years. Why would I?" Rachel cut him off, desperate. "Are you sure? No one ever tried to reach out to you about me? No messages? Nothing?" Derek shook his head.